All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com.
Welcome to episode 284 of the DFO Rundown, brought to you by Betano.ca. And man, if Betano had odds on who's making trades, it'd be unreal. Probably their busiest day. Well, you got lots of games. Of course, tonight, tomorrow, the NHL trade deadline. We are recording this on Thursday morning at 6:10 Pacific, 9:10 Eastern time, 7:10 Mountain, 8:10 Central, so we don't miss anybody. You know what time zone you're in, all right? And it's brought to you by Betano.ca, where the game starts now. And man, it's going to be a busy week, a busy weekend at NHL, and of course, NBA. If you're an F1 fan, you can get in on that as well. It is the pre-trade deadline edition. I'm Jason Greger. Welcome in Frank Saravalli. And Frank, we got so much to get to. We'll pass the pleasantries. I know you're tired. I'm tired. So let's rock and roll. Let's start in the Atlantic Division. We're going to go through kind of team by team, what we'd look for, what we expect here over the coming days. Let's start with a team that's already made a few moves, the Florida Panthers sitting at the top. Do you think the Panthers are done? What do you expect? What are you hearing?
Nope. Don't think the Panthers are done. I think they're the team to beat in the East. And I think they recognize that, you know, their window to win, especially after getting to the Cup final last year with most of this core that's playoff battle tested, has a real good shot, as good as any in the East. And so they're going to continue to add. They get the Vladimir Tarasenko deal done. And the key with that is that I don't know if it's fair to say that the Panthers learned their lesson from the Claude Giroux trade a few years ago, when he had basically just presented Florida as the one team on his list that he was willing to go to. Yeah. But I think perhaps with, you know, trading Owen Tippett there, they were a little bit more generous than they needed to be. And so I don't want to say that they played hardball this time around with Tarasenko, but the reason for that, knowing that they were the only team that Tarasenko wanted to go to, it was able to keep what little trade assets they had left to then take another run at someone else. My guess is that they end up checking down to someone like Max Pacioretty. I think that they've made a real strong push for Jake Guentzel. I'd be surprised if they have the goods at the end of the day to keep up with the other teams in the mix, but they've certainly tried. And so that gives you some window into how aggressive they're going to be over these next, 36 hours.
The one team that hasn't done a whole lot yet, and I think will want to do something, to the Boston Bruins, right? And they're right there currently with Florida. They're 3 points back, and you know Florida started to separate a bit because they're winners of six consecutive games. But you know what? I haven't heard a ton of names connected to the Bruins, Frank, and you know maybe that's organization. Who knows? But what do you make of the Bruins? How busy are you? They expecting to be here leading up to the deadline?
It's a lot of it is also assets. I mean, they went so hard at last year's deadline. Orlov, Hathaway, Bertuzzi. They don't have a first, second, or third round pick this year. They don't have a second next year. They'd like to do something. I think they've been involved in a bunch of different things. I think they've been looking at some defensemen. I think they've been looking at some forwards. There's been lots of talk about this idea of flipping Lindholm from Van to Boston. I know they talked about it, but I'd be surprised if it happens at this point based on what we know. Never say never. But look, I think Pavel Zacha leaving the game over the weekend probably sent a shiver of down their spine. A team already thin on centers. He went down. I know he played the next game, but you got to be thinking, man, that could spell, you know, a real short playoff run for our team if we don't find more support there. So I'd still keep focused on the center position. I just don't know how big of a splash they can make. You can't do it every year. It's just fact.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. And it's interesting you mentioned how much they made last year. All the moves didn't work out. Right now, we can argue it didn't work out because of their goaltending choice in the playoffs. But either way, it did not work out.
By the way, Linus Ullmark is number 49 on my trade targets board. I think it's a real, real long shot, as indicated by where I've placed him. But I know teams have called, so I can't totally rule out that that's a possibility that he moves. Again, if you're talking trying to find a way to create value and assets and pieces to trade, Ullmark is one of the most valuable trade trips that they have. So I look at that and I say they could potentially be getting ahead of, you know, whatever would come in the summer. I think it would be a huge mistake. I think goaltending is what has buoyed this team this year, despite the personnel losses that they've had. That's the common thread, is the best goaltending tandem in the league. And it's a true tandem in that these two guys work together in partnership.
Yeah. Now the Detroit Red Wings, man, did they get spanked last night in Colorado? They saw up close and personal another edition of the Nathan MacKinnon show. Is another 4-point game, man. He is an absolute killer right now on home ice, trying to become the second player in NHL history to have a point in every home game. Of course, the only one, Wayne Gretzky with the Los Angeles Kings. You look at the Red Wings, Frank, and now they've suddenly lost three in a row, right? Like, they can make the playoffs. I could
see they will make the playoffs.
Well, nothing's a guarantee. All of a sudden, you know, you look at the Islanders and them, they have a really good chance. Yes. But my point is, even if they get in, like, I'm not sold that the Red Wings are yet going to make a big splash. So, you know, I could see Steve Yzerman nibbling around the edges, but do you see him taking a bigger swing?
I think if he takes a bigger swing, it's going to be for a non-rental. No, I don't. I mean, unless he thinks he can re-sign Jake Guentzel, to my knowledge, they're not one of the teams in on Guentzel. Maybe they're the dark horse, you know, stalking horse, whatever you want to call it. I don't see it, but that's just me.
Yeah. So what do you see him doing then?
I see him, for the most part, as a wild card. Like I said, if he's going to take the bat off his shoulder, I'd be surprised if it's for a rental. I don't think the Red Wings are in rental stage yet. The only thing that could change is that this is what it's really shaping to me into being a buyer's market. Look at there's 50 names on my board. There's more players available than teams are going to be trading for.
Oh, 100%.
And so that part, you will see a shift, like, not for the high end guys. But what you're going to see is players that are way further down the board. They're going to be going for late round picks just to get them moving.
Yeah. Tampa Bay Lightning, were the retaining, because obviously they gave up a lot of trade capital to get the Jeannot and others here recently. So they get an extra fourth to retain some salary in the Anaheim-Edmonton trade. They've still got a little bit of cap space, Frank, but like I don't see Tampa being a big player. Do you?
I would say you never know. They still have almost $6 million in cap space. That's why they were involved as the retaining team, because they knew that they could still get a fourth and recoup some assets and still be in the mix for whatever they want to be. I think they really tried to make it work for Hanifin.
Yeah.
The first round pick was a given. Like they were going to get a first round pick, not having one till 2026, which oddly enough, the Flames and that condition with Vegas could still end up being 2026 anyway. But I think it was not the Flames' preference to be dealing in a first round pick so far from now. That said, I think the Hanifin part is instructive because they weren't in on him to improve this season. They were in on him because he was someone that they could re-sign. So I think the Lightning are fascinating. Like Julian Breezeball has been the ultimate aggressive GM over the last number of years. Every deadline, he's done something pretty sizable. I know this team is where they're at in the standings, but once they get in, everyone has more or less counted them out when it comes to the playoffs. But that core, I'm still not ready to write them off in the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah, well, the Sergachev LTIR is what's creating all their cap space. So they obviously would know and when he's going to come back, if he's going to come back.
I think they'd have to go very deep in the playoffs for Sergachev to, like, we're talking playing in the cup final in June for Sergachev to come back.
So you might as well, as a lot of them say, Frank, can't get the cap space back. Doesn't
use
carry
or lose. It's like your vacation.
But if you don't think you're that good, like at some point you can't just give away asset after asset. So I
there's not a lot to spend is the point. I really think, teams have asked about Isaac Howard. I'd be shocked if they move him because they need guys like him contributing on entry level deals. And he looks like a real piece.
Yeah. The Buffalo Sabres, I know we're not going to talk a lot about the trades because everybody's analyzed them to death, but I really like that Bowen Byram addition by the Sabres, man. Casey Mittelstadt's good. I think Bowen Byram still got a lot of upside. Now, what's going to happen on the left side there in Buffalo? They got three really good left defensemen. Maybe someone moves to the right side, but just want to say, Sabre fans, I think they're going to, I'm a huge Bowen Byram fan going back to his days with the Giants. He's a hell of a player. He's competitive. I like him a lot.
Is it overkill on their defense though? Like as good as you need your defense to be, are they really going to miss a piece like Mittelstadt up front, who has really grown?
Yeah, potentially. But you look at the Sabres. I know this year they're having a down year offensively, but and they have improved. I will say, like their goals against, Frank, they're better defensively than Tampa. They're better defensively than Detroit. They're better defensively than Toronto in their own division. So, it's a fair point. But I think Bowen Byram, that's just a trade. They probably feel like, you know what? We can, he's making 3.8. Mittelstadt's probably going to want a big raise. So we end up getting, cap savings there and they'll look to move, because not that free agency is the best place to go shopping, but I think there's going to be a few better forwards available in the summer than there are defensemen.
Well, I just think there's such a, it's a fascinating trade because there's such a premium placed on center that getting those guys that have the potential like Mittelstadt to reach into the 70 point range, those are hard to find at 25 under team control, and they're probably going to extend him. And maybe that's the deal. Maybe Buffalo just didn't have room or didn't feel like they had room for another $7+ million center.
Yeah.
There's so many layers to it. Byram's concussion history. I feel like at times the Avs were bracing for one more hit in their front office. Byram is also a lot, 3 years younger and played at an elite level when they won the Stanley Cup. Like, you could really make the argument that this is a fair market value trade for both teams and really one of the rare hockey trades.
Yeah. But it was unique to see. Victor.
So when it comes to Buffalo, I don't think there's been much interest in Olofsson.
No. They not got a lot of UFAs. Capping. Yeah, I'm just listing off all their UFAs. Like Eric Johnson, it's still 3.2, and you got off Pozo, and you know, like a Pozo.
Those are
might
two
be-
guys that will move between now and Friday at 3 p.m.
Yes, that's right.
They've been looking for a spot for Johnson. Again, retained salary is going to be part of it. Probably with Okpozo too, but they're trying to get those two guys to a team where they have a chance to win.
Yeah.
And how serious is Kyle Okpozo about a chance to win? Well, he has a $500,000 bonus on his contract if he wins the cup.
Wow. Oh, nice. The Montreal Canadiens, they got Jake Allen. Like Jake Allen has to move here, I would think. And I still think Colorado makes the most sense.
I think logic would dictate that makes the most sense. I think they'd be wise to do that. And that's why they've maintained their last salary retention spot. It's why they haven't been the third party broker. That spot will not go unused by Friday at 3:00. Like they will be retaining salary. It's either going to be on Allen or it's going to be on Savard or Tanner Pearson or something, because that, or they're going to be the broker. They're going to be in the mix.
Yeah, they have to be. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't. The Ottawa Senators, Frank.
So hold on real quick. So Savard, look, I mean, I'm not a huge Savard guy because of the extra term on his deal. Like I don't think he's all that different than Edmondson and
twice as expensive.
Twice as expensive, but does some team out there see the extra year as a benefit as opposed to a detractor?
Well, it could be, yeah. I think it does depend on your if you have to give up similar costs, but you get an extra year and you've got it into cap space, then yeah, I still look at Montreal and the value of that's a team that thinks they want to build. And I think at times one of the mistakes teams make when they're retooling is they get rid of really good veterans to help their team. Like eventually,
that's what I was going to say. If you're not getting something significant, you might as well just keep them and go through the same exercise late next year.
100%. Yes.
So I think that is in the back of their mind.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. Like Jake Allen, they don't need him. They got lots of goaltending, so they don't need him. Ottawa got rid of Tarasenko. He was on the top of your board. I think that was pretty obvious. Kubalik's having a terrible year, Frank. I'm not sure, you know, that there's much interest in him. I look up and down their lineup in Ottawa. I don't see Chychrun's name, but like it's funny that he's out there again. Like I got to think if Ottawa is trading him, they're going to want a significant return.
Oh, 100%. I mean, look, he's actually played better in Ottawa than he did in Arizona. Teams have noticed that. One more year at 4.6 is very attractive. And here's what, you know, we've talked about the Chychrun situation, but here's essentially what they've come to. Their defense is imbalanced. Do you really need three left shot defensemen next season? Shabbat, Sanderson, and Chychrun. Those first two guys are making $16.05 million on your cap. Then you get to this summer and Chychrun is going to want to talk contract extension entering the final year of his deal. He's eligible to sign on July 1st. He's due a sizable raise. I don't think it's to 8, but it's somewhere between 6 and 8 a year.
Yeah.
Are you really going to commit $22 to $24 million just to the left side of your defense? I think the answer is no. I think if you were to inject truth serum into the Ottawa Senators front office, they would probably prefer to move Thomas Chabot and keep Chychrun.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone's taking Chabot at 4 more years at 8 million per. And I don't mean not taking, I just mean they're not going to find the same value that they have in Chychrun. I think Chabot is just a taller version of Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, and just not maybe as not talented. As probably not as good offensively, if I'm being honest.
Definitely not as good as offensively, but in terms of impact on your defense. So that's where Ottawa stands. Make us a giant offer. Make us do something on Chychrun between now and Friday. If not, we'll just again, we'll go through this same thing in the summer, but rest assured, teams are doing their last ditch effort to try and make them think.
And I saved the team that I think might be the busiest in the division to last, Frank, the Toronto Maple Leafs, who, you know, got a victory in overtime, Austin Matthews scoring it yesterday against Buffalo. So I look at Toronto, and we've been talking about their defense all year long. They're wanting to increase their defense. And, you know, they have two forwards, Frank. Like, when you look sometimes at moving out, the Toronto Maple Leafs lead the NHL in goals by forwards with 204. And if you look in the Eastern Conference, like, it's a significant margin. The next closest team is Tampa Bay at 188. So 16 more goals than Tampa Bay. They've got 18 more than Boston. They have two games in hand on the Bruins. So you can argue they're 20 goals more than every other team in the East when it comes to their forward group. Goal scoring's not an issue for them at all. They want to improve their defense. Do you think there's any chance that, you know, to make a bigger splash, they would move out a Domi or Bertuzzi? Domi maybe more likely, just because he's got the money. Right? Because I look at Toronto and I say, okay, they got to improve their defense core. Well, they've got enough depth forwards. Right, they score enough. So I just wonder if that's something that they're looking at.
Look, I think they're looking at everything. I think they've been pretty frustrated with the spot that they're in. They want to improve. They want to be aggressive. I don't think that they've really fallen in love with any one target. They know that they need multiple pieces. And they aren't dipping into their prospect pool, the top end prospects, to do it. So that leaves you your first round pick. And essentially the question is, what's the most we can get for this first round pick? And you see, even a late first round pick, you see the year that Easton Cowan is having, 30 game point streak for the London Knights. And you go, man, late first round picks, that's pretty valuable. Easton Cowan might be in our lineup next season. And it probably stops you and makes you think, unless we're really getting something that's going to change our Stanley Cup odds in a meaningful way. So by some models calculations, I forget who had this yesterday, but just for frame of reference, the moves that the Avs made yesterday increased their odds to win the Stanley Cup this year by almost 2%. The Edmonton Oilers trading for Adam Henrique increased their Stanley Cup odds 0.3%. I think that was Dom Lecision from The Athletic. 0.3%. I don't know that I'm moving my first round pick, even in a year in which I want a chance to win, for a 0.3%.
That's an interesting number, because we'll get to the Pacific later, but I look at the Maple Leafs. I don't think they have to make a major splash, but I do think that they're looking at adding something. Like, to me, Joel Edmondson just makes way too. I know some people are going to. I think Joel Edmondson makes way too much sense for Toronto.
I could see someone let's see what the price is on Matt Dumba. I think they're going to try and weigh out most value for what we can do. And if they are tempted or can find a package that they can fill multiple voids at once, then I think they'll move the first round pick. And if not, I think they'll keep it and then just maybe trade on the margins. And that's okay. I know that a lot of people have sort of decreased expectations for this Leaf team this year. Sometimes those are the years that end up surprising you in the playoffs when there's not as much pressure packed into it. And the other part of it is, this team also hasn't done anything in the playoffs to really warrant. It's a whole separate philosophical discussion, but haven't warranted that. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But I still think Toronto won't be surprised if they make two additions between now and the trade deadline. So that's
is going to be an issue for them, by the way.
Yeah. That's why I talked about moving out.
Move a forward or wave guys or whatever it is. Like, they're going to need to get creative. So that's the other aspect of it.
Yeah. Let's move over to the Central Division. And, you know, there's lots of, we'll start with the teams. Maybe we'll finish with the ones that I think maybe have a better, better chance of making some moves here in the coming days. So I want to start, first of all, I guess the Winnipeg Jets, Frank, obviously they made their big move with Sean Monahan. Do you expect more tweaking in Winnipeg?
I do. I think what the Jets realized last year, adding pieces like Namestnikov and Niederreiter for second round picks, that they can be in that market and it might not cost you a ton, but you can find ways to improve your team. And as mentioned, I think this is really a buyer's market starting kind of right now. So they might not have to spend a lot to find new additions. And I think they're still in the mix for one more veteran defenseman.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that. And I think, so they're going to continue with, hey, let's go to the dance with what got us there. Team defense. They don't score a lot, but they don't give up very much at all. Right. And I think that's obviously going to be their strategy. And that's, you know, that might be dangerous against a Carolina team who they give up lots, but man, they can score a lot. So, you know,
well, you'd have to meet in the final for that to happen.
No, not what Colorado.
You said Carolina. Colorado. Yeah.
Carolina doesn't score at all, Frank. Yeah. We'll get to them later. Trust me.
I'm talking. So one other thing on the Jets. When I mentioned Niederreiter and Namestnikov, they also re-signed those guys. So that's strong asset management.
100%. Yes, 100%. The Dallas Stars, already like Winnipeg, have made made probably their biggest move, I would think, although I guess they could always surprise us. But Chris Tanev is a pretty big addition for them. They didn't have to give up lots, Frank. So I could still see the Dallas Stars, who don't seemingly have like any areas of weakness. They got good scoring depth up and down the lineup. They just added another defenseman. Like, you know, I won't be shocked if they do nothing. But at the same time, teams are always looking for, you know, another depth guy that's a mid-round draft pick.
I think they're probably in the market for more than that. I don't know exactly what it is, but the fact that they jump through hoops to get Tanev at retained 75% tells you that they have their eye on something else in addition to keeping their first round pick. Like, if not, you don't trade the extra assets to do it. They were pretty close to being able to take Tanev at full boat, and they have almost $2 million to spend in cap space by Friday. So
yeah, but look, like, what are they at? Unless they're giving up prospects, they don't have a second, they don't have a third, they don't have a fourth, they don't have a second next year, they don't have a fourth next year, like, they don't have a sixth this year. They have a first, a fifth, and a seventh this year. And
first is the only one that really matters.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're gonna have to give up. You're gonna have to get a pretty good piece then to give up the first, right?
My issue when looking at the Stars is, where's the hole?
Yeah,
and then do you get into a question of, are we leaping with our chemistry?
Yeah, 100%.
So, I think they really like their team. I'm with you. I wouldn't be shocked, but then why jump through the hoops of getting Tanev retained? You would have just done it and be done. So they did keep their powder dry for something, whether that materializes or not, who knows?
The Nashville Predators, Frank, got on a heater, put themselves in the mix. I know we've talked about, you know, now that Hannafin's gone out of Calgary, you were reporting lots of rumblings. Maybe Tyson Barrie ends up in Calgary. Do you see that? And if that would obviously just be more of like a salary dump than anything, I'm not sure Calgary's having to give up much to make that happen. But nope. Do you see them? Any other names you see connected to Nashville?
I think Nashville is going to be a small buyer. I think they're not going to be moving big assets to do it. But as mentioned with this buyer's market, this sets up perfectly for a team like that. Wait, you mean we don't have to trade much and we can get a piece or two to improve our team right now? That's the market they're going to be living in. As mentioned, Barry, I'd expect him to be on the move because I think they want to try and do right by him. I'd be still surprised if Carrier moves, but can't be out of the realm of possibility. And I think that's kind of it.
About Bill Guerin, he's never afraid to wheel and deal with, you know, Brandon Duhaime, I think, is the obvious name that's going to get moved out of Minnesota. You know, the Bogosian, I think, would have been until they signed him to the 2-year extension. Anybody else in Minnesota that you see potentially on the move other than Duhaime?
So Duhaime, I think they're going to get a second round pick for.
OK. Okay.
And I think that would surprise a lot of people. What do you mean fourth line player getting a second round pick? There, every year there's some player on some team that surprises fans and the general public on his value. And Duhaime is probably going to be one of those guys this year. There's been a lot of teams interested in him. The other guy that will move in Minnesota is Pat Maroon. They want to give him a chance to win a cup, a fourth cup somewhere. He is 2 to 3 weeks away from returning from back surgery, but is looking pretty good. And remember, the Wild traded... Oh, man, who's that guy that played for the Sharks? Gustav Nyquist. He was injured last year on deadline day, and they traded him. And he didn't come back for a while, but still came back at some point in the regular season. So they're going to move both Maroon and Duhaime before Friday at 3 p.m.
All right. Yeah. Maroon's obviously a tough one because, back surgery is tough, man. And, he was never the fleetest of foot to begin with. Like, we obviously know what you're getting, a role guy, fourth liners, won a cup and all that experience. So probably wouldn't have to cost much.
The Wild aren't looking for anything in return. They only traded a seventh round pick to get him. It's really just to do him a solid. Thank you. Yes. And if not, they're happy to keep him, but they're trying to do right by him.
The Coyotes, holy goodness, what a second half flop by the Coyotes again. Zucker's being held out, so I think we can obviously say that they feel that something's percolating. It's close, hasn't happened yet, but you don't sit guys out. I don't think if it's nothing's close, And then their defense, we've talked about many times, Frank. Their RFAs, Durzi, and Kesselring, Moser, they're probably not going to get moved. But any of their UFAs, Stetcher, Josh Brown, Matt Dumba,
anything that's Kerma, not glued down and flying to Salt Lake City in the summer is available.
Yeah.
And I say that tongue in cheek, but not really. Look, I don't know what the Coyotes are thinking, but I don't know if part of it is spin and some of the reporting that I've seen. If the Coyotes were looking for a first round pick for Matt Dumba, they are wandering in the desert on peyote.
Yeah, there's no chance.
Zero chance.
No,
I'm putting a circle to my eye, 0% chance.
Yeah.
So that, and I know that the ask has been relatively high for Zucker. I personally, they're looking for a second. I don't know if they're going to get it.
Tarasenko got 2/3, right? That's probably the market.
I was going to say that. I mean, look, that's a different situation because he had trade protection, but you can ask for a second. And I can ask to be 200 pounds, but that's not how it works.
Yeah. You could be, just for the record, though. You choose if you wanted to. We could get you to 200.
Yeah. I mean, I would also sign up for like a 3-week stomach bug right now, but.
Yeah. Gross.
The lead 47 pounds.
Yeah. The Chicago Blackhawks, Frank, they didn't have a lot, of pieces that we thought were necessarily, going to get moved. Now they do have Beauvillier and Johnson, who are UFAs. They make a lot. So I guess the one guy, though, just because teams are always looking for veteran depth defensemen, and I'm just talking even like number sevens, Jared Tenorti seems to me like a guy that could easily be moved, who doesn't cost very much, and teams just like to have a number seven or a number eight in case of injury.
I don't think they've gotten any calls on him. I think if any Blackhawk is going to move between now and Friday, it's going to be Colin Blackwell. And even then, I think the Blackhawks are like, it should at least be something worth our while. And they don't have unrealistic expectations, but like, they've got a bunch of late round picks. Like, they don't need another sixth. Like, they don't have to do it for that. So, I think that's the only guy that pops out to me. Otherwise, Chicago, what they're going to be doing is trying to either take a bad contract back or retain money, help a team as a third party broker. That's it.
Yeah, that makes the most sense, which leaves the two teams. I think people are expecting some moves. There's been a lot. How much fire do you really think? Like Buchnevich, we all knew from the get-go that would be a pretty, it's going to cost a lot to do it. Do you see anybody that can do it?
Yeah, Vegas stands out to me. I mean, look, I reported yesterday that the Blues have told teams they're willing to get creative and retain half.
Wow.
Pavel Buchnevich at 2.9 for next season and this. There is a reason why the Golden Knights stipulated that they're, if they trade their 2025 first round pick, meanwhile, they still have their 2024. If they trade their 2025 with Calgary, that it'll slide to 2026. That's a pretty rare condition to put in. And by the way, I saw Flames fans bellyaching about that condition. They don't realize that what Calgary got in exchange for the optionality of Vegas to still trade that pick is that that 2025 top 10 protected first round pick went to unprotected if it goes in 2026. Not to say that Vegas is likely to be a lottery team in 2026, but you never know, especially with some of the injuries that they've had to their big boy players who are going to be a couple years older by then. I don't think it's absolutely outside the realm of craziness. That's what they got in return for that optionality. I'd take that every day. Anyway, that aside, Vegas has 2024 and 2025 to trade. What St. Louis is looking for if they're trading Buchnevich at half is three first round picks.
Yeah, it's
So wait a second. It could be two first round picks plus a first round pick equivalent, meaning a recent first round pick or a prospect of a caliber. Now, that might sound crazy to you, but for a point per game guy at 2 years at 2.9, which the Golden Knights would be guaranteed to be able to keep, and any team, Colorado, whoever else might trade for him, that to me, like, I'd have to think long and hard about doing that.
Yeah, that, you know, it's a significant amount. And, you know, at 2.9 mil, that definitely may, or 2.85, whatever it is, makes him pretty attractive. If it doesn't happen now, it would seem like, you know, that they're going to move him in the summertime then. So when there's maybe more teams willing to do it. And that leaves us with Colorado. Now, they already made two trades. Of course, it's kind of like a two for two. You got Mittelstad and Walker in, and you got Byram and Johansson going out, as well as a first rounder. You know, they're probably better. And then give those two combined a little bit better, but they still need a goaltender. Like there is no chance in my mind that they can go through until tomorrow and not get a goalie. So I think they're getting a goalie.
They're going to get a goalie. They're in, hard in on a goalie.
Yeah, they have to. Do you see anything else though? I still wouldn't be surprised for it. Although I know the Landeskog is the wild card here, right? If they think that
he's going to come back. He's coming back. It's just a question of when. Do they have to play into May in order for that to happen, or is sometime in April a possibility? That's the only question when it comes to Landeskog.
Okay.
Wow. And don't give me the whole salary cap shenanigans LTIR bullshit. That's not when you miss two full seasons of play. I'm sorry, that's not their plan.
Yeah, in an ideal world, they would take him back. Like, let's be hey guy, yeah, I'm playing 2 years. Okay, good. Now you're going to come in the playoffs. And the deep, like, because if he's not ready for game one of the playoffs, there's zero circumvention people. No one's going to hold a guy out for the first round just because there's no benefit.
No, right? So it's craziness.
Yeah, I don't buy that one at all, but I could see them still out just to protect themselves in case he isn't ready. And even if he is ready.
No, I think they're trying to do both those things. I think they're trying to get a goalie, and I think they've checked prices on a bunch of players. I don't think they've ever been authentically in the Jake Guentzel sweepstakes. I think that they kind of had investigated the idea of Tyler Toffoli. That's not going to happen. Who does that leave? I mean, to me, again, another team that's kept their first round picks, except for the one 2025 that went to the Flyers to move off of Johansson. I wonder if they're a Buchnevich possibility.
Well, if he's at half price, man, that's a massive, but then that's a lot to give up, right? They already gave up one first rounder. So we'll see. Let's bring in Tyler Yaremchuk for an edition of Buy or Sell.
What's going on, gentlemen? Did I miss the Dallas Stars talk? Did I zone out for that one? Yes, God damn.
We started the Stars. Yep.
I started with the Stars. I've been trying to keep timestamps for every team. And I was sitting here being like, oh, I still got time before my segment.
You had one job.
I know. But so far, I've only missed the one. So you know what? I'll take, what would that be? 90% or something. That's good. That's a good grade. That's better grades than I got in high school. All right, let's get into things with a new edition of Buy or Sell. As always, delivered by DoorDash, 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code Nation25. All right, I'm going to go through a handful of quick things here for Buy or Sell, starting with a couple of specific players. I'm going to go ahead and say Pavel Buchnevich stays. He is held on to by the St. Louis Blues. They're willing to keep half. I still think that'll bring them a ton of value at the draft, maybe even a few more teams involved. Then Buchnevich stays. Frank, buy or sell?
It pains me to say this, but I will buy. I think what you run into is number of teams that could really pull it off. Yeah. And I think that number starts to dwindle in a real way.
Greg.
Yeah, I just think the cost will be too high for teams to want to bite the bullet now. Summertime, you know what, Frank? Some teams all lubed up thinking they're going to be good for the playoffs. They flame out, and now they're like, oh God, we got to do something. And so let's do it in the summer. So I think there's better odds there.
All right. Tyler Toffoli leaves. Are you buying or selling on that?
I will buy. I think he's going to leave. The New Jersey Devils, they're out of it, man. Like, why wouldn't you? If they were discussing a contract, they haven't had one yet. I think you buy, and I think there's teams interested. And you know what? As they retain salary, he's a very easy, manageable player to bring in. Not sure he commands a first rounder though, but I think the Devils will move him.
I'd be floored if they don't move him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think some of that is just posturing. Some of it is they're trying to appease their fan base that they're not selling, but even the fan base is like, come on, you got to get good value for this guy that you just traded for last summer. I think if I had to, guess, if you put a gun to my head, I would say that Toffoli ends up in LA. They're moving pieces around. That just makes sense.
A cool story. Fully going back to LA as a vet after winning a ring there as a kid. All right, last one I got for you guys. Both the Golden Knights and Avalanche still move a first round pick ahead of the deadline. Frank, buy or sell? You think they both do it?
Yes. Buy. I will buy.
Greg's.
So they're going to each move two firsts. Well, we were both correct. That was the question last time on who, and I think I picked Colorado and Frank picked Vegas. So we're both, or vice versa. I can't remember, but. I'm going to sell. I think they'll find a way to make a deal. One of them that requires something less than a first.
Want to point out too, Cal Ritchie has received a lot of interest. The Colorado Avalanche have zero interest in trading him. He's a non-starter. He's an untouchable. That guy looks like a horse. Coming soon to an NHL lineup near you. The Avs might have their second line center if it's not Casey Mittelstadt in-house and in short order.
Interesting. Just quickly to wrap this up, Avs, Golden Knights, both potentially moving another first. Frank, we've spent a lot of time, whether it's you and Greg's on this show or on DFO Live, talking about this big Western arms race. If both the Golden Knights and Avalanche are willing to move their first, what's the general sense on the Oilers being willing to move their first? If Vegas, who they could go up with in round one, is going to go make a third big ad, is there not a little bit of pressure on the Oilers to do the same?
I don't think Ken Holland's going to respond to that pressure.
Fair.
I asked him that question directly on my show at 5:30 last night. And because it was after the Hanifin, and he goes, I don't worry about other teams. You can't. You got to, I focus more on he's big on team chemistry. And, you bring in another big piece here. A, to do it, you have to move out someone, fine, which probably be Fogle. That's if they're bringing in another forward. And so, we'll find out if he's right or wrong. But I would be surprised at this point if they do anything other than add a number seven defense.
All right, not to walk all over the Pacific Division preview, but that is a wrap on this week's edition of Buy or Sell.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
All right. I wanted to, before we move on from Central, two names that I have on my sheet here that I forgot to mention. One is Scott Perunovich from the Blues. He's a pending Group 6 unrestricted free agent. He needs 25 more games played to avoid, for the Blues to retain his rights. There's only 20 games left in the season, so that's not going to happen. Don't be shocked if the 2020 Hobie Baker winner is on the move between now and then. Really talented undersized defenseman that just cannot stay healthy. So that's one. And two is Yakov Trenin from the Nashville Predators, also a pending UFA. We forgot to mention him. Big guy that's got a motor that I think, you know, might be an interesting playoff ad. I think the Preds are happy to keep him, but if they get the right offer, he could be on the move too.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll speed things up a bit. We're going to the Metro division, and we'll start at the top with the New York Rangers. Frank, they went out Wennberg. We all knew they were going to add. They added. I don't see a lot of holes in that lineup. Like, you know, maybe they add another depth guy, but I don't see the Rangers making a big splash here.
I do.
You do?
Oh yeah. The Rangers are deep, deep, deep in on Jake Guentzel.
Okay.
And they've got a hole on their wing. Think about last year. They trade for Tarasenko and Kane in the same deadline.
Didn't work.
This year, Wheeler goes down. I know not the biggest cap hit or impact, but they've got an ability to fill there. So Wennberg, he kind of comes in and he's their replacement for Filip Hedl. They kept their first round pick, obviously didn't require it in the Wennberg deal. But Jake Guentzel is certainly one of the targets on their list. I wouldn't be surprised if they were one of the teams that kept tabs on Tyler Toffoli as well, even though it's an unholy Devils to Rangers trade. The attractive part about that from a Toffoli perspective is you don't need to move. You can just drive to work.
It's true.
And you keep any top level winger essentially is keep the Rangers in mind. I don't think they're, you know, even though the Ducks don't have a salary retention spot left on Frank Vetrano, I wouldn't rule that out either.
I don't know why. Like, I've heard his name, man. I don't like the Ducks. Gods, and just get worse trading him. Like, and you get hope. Like, some points you got to keep NHL players. That's just me.
It's a fair point. I'm just saying, Rangers, they're not going to get through Friday at 3 p.m. and not trade for a winger. How big of a impact winger that is up for debate. But the fact that they're well in on Guentzel, keep that in mind.
Well, the other team, they might be battling in their own division, the Carolina Hurricanes, yep. Right? Like the Carolina Hurricanes, Frank, I looked the 16 teams currently in the playoffs. They're, and I was just looking at top six forwards. Carolina and Philly have the fewest goals of any of the top 16 teams right now in their top six. It's been Carolina's Achilles heel for years. You come playoff time and they're good and they're deep and they roll all these lines, but they don't have a game breaker. And Jake Guentzel, to me, multiple 40-time goal scorer. Like if I'm the Carolina Hurricanes, that like they're good, but that's what they've missed this for years. If they don't get Jake Guentzel and the Rangers do, to me, that's an unmitigated failure by the Carolina Hurricanes. They should be the most aggressive team in my eyes to get Guentzel.
Well, I think they're interested in Guentzel because I think there's not like the Guentzel camp hasn't expressed this, but this is my own personal opinion. I believe Guentzel is intrigued and interested in re-signing with the Canes.
Yeah, which why not?
They are a team that doesn't really believe in rentals. Guentzel in that case might not be one. So that I think further incentivizes you to go out and pull the trigger. Here's the thing is the Penguins are asking for specific players in return and the Canes are not willing to cross certain thresholds when it comes to moving younger parts of their franchise. So
are you talking Seth Jarvis?
No, I am talking Alexander Nikishin. Okay. Is the guy. 22-year-old left shot defenseman who has 56 points as a defenseman, 56 points this season in the KHL. That's one guy they're not interested in moving. I do think that if push came to shove that they would trade Scott Morrow, another really interesting defense prospect. But think about how they're building this team. They have Brady Shea and Brett Pesce both as pending UFAs. So change is coming on that blue line this summer. I don't think they've negotiated with Pesce at all. So it's almost a lock that he moves. And then I think they're trying to work out an extension for Jalen Chatfield.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So what about either way, point being that they're going to have a roster that's very much in flux this summer, which will leave them plenty of cap space and flexibility to sign Guentzel if they wanted to. So I agree with you. I think he's the game breaker they need. Some people would disagree and say that Jake Guentzel is a complimentary player, meaning a lot of the success that he's had is because he's played with Sidney Crosby and he's not the driver. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, man. I talked to lots of guys. They think he's a pretty independent, stand on his own player. Sid's obviously very good. Don't get me wrong, but you know, Jake Guentzel isn't just riding his coattails. He is a solid player in his own right. And I can see why teams are after him, but to me, Carolina is a very good team. That's what they lack. And he would give them, he's a proven producer, not only in the regular season, but also in the playoffs. What about old Lou Lamoriello? The Islanders have won four in a row. They're two games in hand on the Flyers. They're four back of the Flyers for third place in that division. The Flyers, of course, have made quite a bit of moves here. They've kind of like they kept Seeler. They moved out Walker. They brought in Johansson. You know, they're wheeling. What do you make of the Flyers? And, you know, is Lawton going?
Torts and Joey reunited.
Yeah.
That is something. Or will they be? Will they just park him in the minors? I think the Flyers are receptive to the idea of Lawton. I think they're not pushing to do it, but they've got their first round pick ask. They did have a first round pick ask for Sean Walker. They end up getting it, although by nature of taking on the Johansson deal. And maybe you could look at that and say, hey, by any means necessary, we're going to do it. We're going to get to that first round pick. And they did, and money's not an issue for them or cap space. So what the heck? Yeah. Teams are probably going to be checking in on Lawton. I don't think the market is robust for him at a first round pick, even with the term that he has. And outside of that, I don't really expect him to be very active.
And the Islanders?
The Islanders have their full complement of picks. Lou Lamoriello does not wave the white flag. When he thinks they have a chance, they go for it. I think the Flyers could potentially be ripe for the picking for that last playoff spot. I don't know that I'd trade a ton of future to do it, but I'd try and add to at least try and improve their chances.
Yeah.
You're already pot committed.
No, 100%, right? And they might just, knowing Lou's, like, he believes in that group. He's like, hey, they're good enough. We're finally playing well, right? Under Patrick Waugh, winners of four in a row. Maybe they'll just stay the course. The Columbus Blue Jackets, Frank, have no UFAs other than Jack Roslovich, pending UFAs. You know, they got a few younger RFAs. You know, Jake Bean, I'm sure, is, you know, their back end. I know there's lots of guys they trade. I don't think that much value. You know, it's kind of unique for a team that's out of it. You'd say they would like to move off guys. They just don't have a lot of guys to move off.
Yeah. I mean, Peak is heading for a buyout this year. Most likely they've got a bunch of spare parts right now that I think teams aren't really that intrigued by. It's a soft market, as we mentioned. Does someone have any interest in Jack Roslovich? I mean, he's arguably one of the least consistent players in the league. Certainly has talent. He's also a Columbus kid. I wouldn't expect Columbus to be in the mix on a lot.
New Jersey, like, I look at them. Obviously, we've talked about Tyler Toffoli. I don't think we need to revisit it. I think they're going to move. But you know, another guy on that team, Frank, who I think he's a UFA, you know, he makes $1 million, who I think would be an interesting ad up front, is Thomas Nosek. I think there'd be teams interested in him. And then teams are looking for depth defenders, right? Colin Miller, Brennan Smith, if they want to. I think, you know, those are other guys. Now, I'm not saying that they're household names, but teams are always looking for 6, 7, 8 guys, teams that think they can go deep. And New Jersey, now that they're out of it, to me, it would, why not? I'd move some of those guys if I was them.
I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I just don't think it's a fire sale. I think they're trying to hold out hope that this coaching change, even after trading Toffoli, is going to give them some shot to get in. Again, long shot, because they've played 62 games, but I don't think they're going to be selling off Smith and Miller for mid to late round picks just to do it. That's just my view.
Okay, well, they should. They're 8 points out with 20 games.
They're probably somewhere around a 12-15% chance to make it. I know where the math is.
Yeah, and they got to add, and they got to jump lots of teams. Like, come on, put a fork in them. They're done. They ain't making the playoffs. Which leaves us two teams. Let's go to the Penguins. Jake Guentzel, I think, Frank, at this point, obviously, he's going to get dealt. What, Riley Smith, you've talked about, there was lots of interest from teams. Do you see both of those top guys going?
Of course, without a doubt. There's been more teams in the mix for Smith than Guentzel. The return obviously isn't going to be as good, but Smith has one more year at the $5 million. Pittsburgh can retain, knock him down to 2.5. They can retain to any team except for Vegas. Vegas, if they take Smith, would have to be at full boat because he was on their reserve list last year. Guentzel is the big fish. That's what they're concentrating on. They've set a high price. I think it's, you know, first round pick and an A grade prospect. And then, that's what they're looking at.
Now, what about, like, do you see them going even bigger? Like, if teams want to take Eller and they retain some, like, how deep do you think this trade-off's going to go for the Penguins?
Oh, it's possible. They're open to anything. I would say, I don't think as many teams are interested in Eller as anyone might think.
Oh yeah, no. And the Washington Capitals, you know, Nick Doubt has been a name out there for quite some time. Joel Edmondson is another name, you know, Max Pacioretty.
Pacioretty is a very likely bet to move.
Yeah. Like, I thought they could move four pieces, earlier in the week. And I still think they can. I think they might be one of the busier teams here in the next.
In volume, I think they are going to be.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if all three of those guys, Edmondson, Dowd, and Pacioretty, are still on that team come Saturday.
Yeah. And I'm curious about the Dowd return. If it's still a first, because he's $1.3 million for another year. I know some people kind of like, what? But if you're getting a second for Duhane and he doesn't have an extra year, giving a first for Jim for Dowd, not Jim Dowd, but for Dowd.
Oh, good old Crazy Legs, Jimmy Dowd. Yeah, yeah. That's a great reference. One time, as total aside, in 20 seconds, one time I was at a strip club in Montreal and some guy was sitting in the front row wearing a Jim Dow jersey. Anyway, that's what I remember.
Just random. Oh my God.
Yeah. Unbelievable jersey to wear to the old Peeler bar. I would say it's probably more likely a second and third, but they're certainly going to shoot for the first for Dow.
Yeah, no, that's fair. So that leaves us to the Pacific Division. And I was going to start with the team that I don't think is going to make a lot of moves. They're going to add a defenseman. But then speaking of Ken Holland yesterday, Ken Holland's normally pretty straightforward. I'd be surprised if Edmonton makes a bigger swing other than that. You never say never, because who knows? Maybe there's something out there. But, you know, like, I mean, looking at depth defenseman, Frank, guys who they view as, you know, number sevens who will come in and who will be comfortable sitting in the press box for, you know, all but maybe two or three of their final 20 games, unless there's an injury.
I totally agree. I think they made their big move in Henrique. I think my big question with the Oilers would be, if Henrique and Carrick was it, why didn't this get done a month ago? I think it's a really fair question to ask. You would have had way more time to assimilate these players, more time to evaluate whether you needed to go out and do something bigger. And the price hasn't wavered at all.
Yeah.
The ask for Henrique, just Henrique and retained salary a month ago was a second and two thirds. The Oilers basically, you know, moved it around. They got Carrick in and they did a first, fourth and fifth. That's what they did. Yeah. It's not really all that different and equivalent than a second and two thirds. So the price hasn't changed. I'm not being critical. My only question is, why not get it done first and give yourself this runway to then be in a spot where you could make alternative decisions if you wanted to? Because now it feels like it's a little bit late. You don't know exactly how it's going to fit. You have a pretty good sense, but I would just want to know. I'd want to see what my team looks like. I'd want to know what the lines look like. That's my only thought on the Oilers.
Interesting one. The Oilers just sent Dylan Holloway to the minors.
That's just a cap space thing.
They had him on the roster yesterday. They could do it.
I'm saying it's cap space for what they're doing next. They're creating cap flexibility for whatever this defenseman is going to be.
But they had enough for $1.2 million, Frank, right before.
Or maybe they want someone that's more expensive than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they want to have to just retain once on a player instead of twice.
Yeah, no, it's fair. Yeah, no, it's fair. So, well, interesting there. Maybe they want him to play more. So we'll see. Now, we'll look at the Vancouver Canucks, Frank. I know there was the Lindholm rumor. What do you make of that? And what do you make of the Canucks?
I think it was a cursory conversation. I don't want to say concerned, but I think that they are perplexed as to the fit with Lindholm. I think they're also in the back of their mind thinking our team hasn't really played well as a whole since the trade, and how much of that is on Lindholm. Like, if the team is playing better, does Lindholm look better? If that makes any sense. I think it's a lot of maneuvering to pull off in a short period of time. I think, as mentioned with the Gensel situation, I think they put up a good, strong offer that they feel like could, you know, be in the mix for Gensel, but Pittsburgh's looking for more than that. So I mentioned, you know, yesterday, Florida and Van in the mix, but kind of not really when it comes to Gensel. And so I think they really still need one more depth defenseman, one true depth, you know, defender to add to their roster. Outside of that, I think they're going to check in on Brandon Duhaime. I think they're going to keep monitoring those things, and that'll be it.
The Seattle Kraken, they already moved Wennberg, Schultz, Eberle. What are you hearing?
Jordan Eberle, that's another player that the Oilers are monitoring between now and Friday. I think they would trade to bring him in still, even after the Henrique deal. Eberle has been going back and forth with the Kraken on a contract. They're offering, I think, a 2-year deal. I think he's looking for a third year. My belief is his preference is to stay in Seattle. But if Seattle doesn't get a deal done, they've vowed to trade him by Friday. Like, they're not keeping him as a rental. So it's either bleep or get off the pot in terms of a contract. If I had to guess, my sense would be it gets done, but I don't know how hold they're going to, I don't know how firm they're going to hold the line on term. That seems to be where the struggle is.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't think they move any of their defensemen.
Yeah. We mentioned Toffoli in LA. I think the Kings are definitely looking for some augmentation. They got some better news on Kempe. So, you know, maybe that lowers the urgency in LA, but outside of Toffoli, like, that would probably be the big splash for them. Or do you think they're heavy in on Gensel?
No, I don't get the sense that they are. And I'm wondering how big they're trying to swing here, because they obviously putting Jacob Moverar and Jared Anderson Dolan on waivers. They don't want to lose Moverar. I can't think of the last time that a player was waived and on the same day signed a 2-year one-way extension for league minimum. I don't remember that ever happening. So that to me is an indication that they don't want to lose Moverar, but they were doing it solely for salary cap machinations. And they're trying to basically inject a poison pill into someone claiming him on waivers on Thursday by 2. But what are they up to and how big? And if it's not Toffoli, then who?
Yeah, that's a fair question. Like, I don't see a lot of other great options then for the Kings in that regard. So I'm kind of mixed on the Kings. I don't really know what they are, to be honest.
I don't even know what they, you know, how prudent is it for them to even make a big splash?
Yeah, no, it's fair.
I think they're Calgary Flames still pretty likely to lose in round one.
Yeah. The Flames have made some significant moves, Frank. Obviously, there's still, I guess, the Markstrom one. But if New Jersey's selling off, well, although I guess they could sell Toffoli and then bring in Markstrom if they want. But if the trade didn't facilitate itself, even though he's waived his no movement clause, like the odds are pretty low he gets moved now, right? At least over the next 30 hours.
Sorry, who was that? I was just responding Markstrom. To a text. Markstrom. Yeah, I think New Jersey's going to try. I think the Hanifin deal was kind of the last big issue on Craig Conroy's plate. He's totally restocked the draft board cupboard wise over the last year. They've added a couple NHL players and they're in the ultimate position of power with Markstrom. I mentioned this already. The goalie market this summer is insanely thin. So if New Jersey doesn't pay you what you want right now, then wait, and you could have 4 or 5 teams trying to trade for Markstrom this summer. So, you know, they're not going to let the emotion of this situation and whatever frustration Markstrom has get in the way of what they're thinking. They know that they've got the best goalie that's going to be traded between now and July 1.
Yeah. Okay. The Ducks and Vetrano, like, I wouldn't do it if I was Anaheim. They made their move, pretty big move with Edmonton yesterday for them. I'm sure they'd like to move off other pieces. So, you know, maybe some small ones, but what do you think the likelihood really is Vetrano going?
I think it's 50-50.
Yeah.
I think that cap it is just so attractive to teams at 3-6-5 and for one more year, 30 goal scorer. Like, that's pretty rare. So that's what they're looking at. And other than that, I don't think they haven't gotten any calls on Jacob Silverberg. And I think they're content to just, after a really long run in Anaheim, 800 games, they're not moving him. So I'm pretty sure Silverberg is staying put. I don't think the Ducks make another trade if it's not Vetrano.
Okay. San Jose, man, their team's not very good. You know, they have Anthony Duclair to me is the most attractive player they have. I know Barabanov and other guys would like to get moved. Just not sure what the likelihood's going to be.
Duclair is one guy that I think is probably pretty likely to go. Teams were investigating on Granlund. I just think it's too much and they only have one retained salary slot and that would tie it up for 2 years. Barabanov is interesting to me, just because last year, 47 points, and 34 of them, I think, were at even strength. 47 points last year, like, he could be an almost free player in terms of what you're paying to get. I think that's interesting. Duclair, we talked about. Luke Cunningham is another guy looking for a change of scenery. Kevin LeBanc, Mike Hoffman. Nothing really appears to be glued down in San Jose, so take your best shot.
Well, that leaves us the team, Frank, that everybody thinks is stretching the rules. But hey, they've added guys because Mark Stone is out. Like, they'd rather have Stone than Mantha. I just want to make that abundantly clear. But the Vegas Golden Knights, Frank, how much busier are they going to be here in the next few hours?
Extremely. They're the team to watch. They're the team that's going for it. They love the shiny new toy on the market. The fact, again, it needs to go no further than the fact that they have a condition on their 2025 pick that they have the optionality to trade it. You don't do that unless, and it's such a short window of optionality. It's only until Friday at 3 p.m. essentially.
Yeah.
You don't do that unless you know there's a likelihood or a potential that you would do it. And as I mentioned, people made fun of the Flames, but it removed the top 10 protection if it slides to 2026. Worthwhile for the Flames to give Vegas another 48 hours to do something. And if not, they just get what they already signed up for. So people were all over the Flames making fun of them for that. I think for Vegas, it's smart too. Why not? Give yourself a chance. And if you trade for someone that has term, or if you trade for someone that you think you can re-sign, I think they are all over the winger market. All over it.
Yeah, okay.
Like flies on shit.
And could move Martinez to LTIR potentially. To
create, yeah, I think he's dealing with a broken foot. And he's tried to play through it, I think. But that's further optionality, I would call it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been a busy show, Frank. There's lots of teams to discuss, and we'll be curious on Monday. We'll have a full wrap. And it's always, I'm not a big fan of winners and losers because they're all projection. It's more so which trades do I like for fits. I will say today, the number one team that should be looking to get Jake Guentzel are the Carolina Hurricanes. It's what they've lacked for a long time. Otherwise, they'll go into the playoffs with the exact same thing that they've had before. Really good team, really balanced team, without a killer and a difference maker, and that has been their Achilles heel.
Hard to argue with that. Guentzel led an entire postseason in goal scoring as a rookie.
Yeah.
Clearly has the goods.
Yeah. Now, before we go, of course, dailyfaceoff.com, the Wendy's Survivor Pool. Frank, are you alive?
Frank, in the middle of trade deadline, forgot to put in a pick this week.
Oh, dude, I've been there. It's the worst, isn't it? It's the worst.
Sucks.
Yeah.
And I, especially after getting as close as I did, it's a heartbreaker last weekend. But shout out to the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor game. And look, tune in to our 4-hour live trade deadline special on the Daily Faceoff YouTube page. Go over there and hit subscribe. Get set up an alert. It'll ping you when we're live. And 11 a.m. Eastern, all the way past the deadline, probably going up until 4 p.m. when things are all said and done and the last trades are trickling in. So we've got you covered. I'll be breaking trades. We've got Tyler Yaremchuk hosting, Colby Cohen and Carter Hutton on the main panel, Matt Larkin there with trade grades. We've got guests from all over the NHL talking the latest trades and reporting, and it'll be a fun show.
It's going to be a busy time, Frank. Have a good one. We will chat with you on Monday.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.